Today we are going to study a lesson found in the Gospels, primarily looking at Mark, but some other related passages. A familiar passage regarding the rich young ruler. But before we do, we are thankful for the presence of all today, and for anybody who may be visiting with us, we are thankful also for your being here. But it is in these words in Mark 10:21 where Jesus told this young man, "One thing you lack," that were challenging words to him. And although the application may not exactly be the same for us, they can be just as challenging for us today. One thing you lack. Life is filled with many missed opportunities. And usually when we think of these missed opportunities, we may think in financial terms where certain things that we may have rejected might have passed us by, that job that we didn't take, or that opportunity to go farther in some educational pursuit we didn't take, or that stock we didn't buy, or we could go on and on thinking in those ways. And many times we look back and we think, look what could have happened if I had only taken advantage of whatever opportunity it might have been. But as Christians, we realize that when it comes to material things, we, in the end, whether we took advantage of certain opportunities along those lines or not, if we are blessed to have eternal life, then none of that is going to matter in the end regarding those things. However, the greatest missed opportunities that we can experience in this life is when we, for some reason, turn away from Jesus. When we turn away from fully following Jesus, giving up those things that He commands us to give up in order to truly serve Him and magnify His name and be more fruitful and faithful in His kingdom, when we fail to give those things up to make the changes that He calls upon us to make by His word, then those are the opportunities. They are the ones that affect us spiritually, and they are the ones that can affect our salvation regarding that hope of eternal life. The rich young ruler walked away from Jesus. He went away from Jesus, even though he had a golden opportunity to make something wonderful of his life and to fully follow Jesus. In Mark 10, beginning in verse 17, as he was setting out on a journey, a man, Mark only identifies him as a man, we'll get to that later, the more specific identification of this man. A man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" That's, of course, the greatest question. Similar to "what must I do to be saved" is the way we would ask it, but how can I continue with God into eternity? And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments." And then he mentions the commandments under the law of Moses in which they were living. "Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these from my youth." From my youth up, I have kept all of these. And then Jesus responded to him, Those challenging words in Mark 10 and verse 21. Looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him. He felt a sacrificial love, seeking to do what is best for this individual. He felt a love for him and said to him, "One thing you lack." And then he says, "Go and sell all your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." That was Jesus' command to this young man. Go and sell all you have, distribute to the poor, and then come and follow me. But at these words, he was saddened, he was grieved, and went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. He owned much property. He walked away from Jesus. He was unwilling to comply with what Jesus had plainly commanded. And in his particular situation, because of his great love of possessions, Jesus said, "Get rid of it. Get rid of it all and sell and give to the poor and come and follow me." The young man, the man is identified as a young, rich ruler among the Jews. Matthew 19 and verse 22, "But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property." Luke 18 and verse 18, "A ruler questioned him, saying, 'Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' So this rich young ruler went away from Jesus. He was not as interested in spiritual things as he had purported to be, as he had presented himself in being. He had a desire to discuss spiritual things, but as far as applying spiritual things, he was not willing to go that far. And that is the mindset that the Apostle Paul wrote about in Romans 8, beginning in verse 5, going through verse 8. "For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God." This man had an interest in spiritual things, but not a deep resolve to apply spiritual things to his life. And when Jesus said, "This is how you, in your situation, must overcome covetousness, love of material things, you have to get rid of them all. You're too entangled with them. Your love of them is too great. Get rid of them all. Sell them all, come and follow me after you give to the poor." That is what the rich young ruler needed to do at that particular time to perfect or complete his faith. His faith in God was lacking. He was a covetous man trying to serve God, claiming that he was following the commandments of God, while in reality, it was the material things that were his idol. Matthew 19 and verse 21, Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be complete or perfect, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." He walked away from the opportunity of perfecting his faith that he might become truly a follower of Jesus on the road to eternal life. He turned away from that. The Apostle Paul instructs us that we are also to go on to perfection or completion, whatever we need, to give up whatever is making us less fruitful, less faithful in His service. We are called upon to give that up, whatever it is, that we can go on to perfection, pressing forward, serving Jesus. Philippians 3 and verse 12, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect or complete, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, whatever I need to give up to serve Jesus, whatever that is, give it up. Get rid of it. Put it behind. By the grace and mercy of God, put it behind that we may go forward in the service of Christ. But focusing on the main thought of our lesson, when Jesus said, one thing you lack. Going back to Mark 10 and verse 20 again. In Mark 10 and verse 20, and He said to him, Teacher, I have kept all these from my youth up. Looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, one thing you lack. Go and sell all your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But at these words he was saddened, and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. Jesus said, one thing you lack. He told this young man at that particular time, this is what is needed. If you want to be right in the sight of God, if you want to be saved, if you want to follow me, then you need to do this in order to be in relationship with me. He needed to conquer his covetousness with Jesus' help, completely submitting to Jesus in order to follow him. You know, we look at that and we say, and we usually make the application, well, certainly Jesus doesn't want me to sell all my possessions. Well, I guess it depends on how much we love our possessions. If we love them as much as this rich young ruler, I don't know if it would be too far off a somewhat of a similar application. Covetousness, idolatry. But in this particular case, he said, you sell everything you have and give to the poor. But the question for us is, what one thing do we struggle with that we need to give up, that we're making an excuse not to give up, that we maybe even justify ourselves that we cannot give it up, that we know we should and that we must give it up in order to be a more faithful and fruitful Christian in His kingdom, that we may surrender our will more completely to Jesus' will? Is it covetousness, anger, lust, other addictions, even a career that takes us away from serving God as fully as we could? Is it lust or being entangled with relationships that we know are not pleasing to Christ that we need to give up? Is there anything that we need to give up in following Jesus that is worth holding on to that we might lose our soul? And are there even some things that may be in and of themselves lawful, not necessarily sinful in and of ourselves, but they are so distracting in our lives and fill our lives up to such a degree that they crowd out any possibility of becoming more mature as Christians and becoming more active in His kingdom. And you know, we look at this rich young ruler and Jesus, oh, what a covetous individual he must be. You know, he was so tied to his possessions, Jesus said, get rid of them all. And we look at him, and maybe we look at him from a superior aspect in our minds. But notice what Jesus said. He said, one thing you lack. He didn't say two, three, four, five. He said, one thing you lack. But what about me? What about you? Maybe we have to give up even more than one thing to follow Jesus. Maybe it's just not one thing in my case. Maybe it's more than one thing. What if it is more than one thing? We must give them up, whatever it is. When we do give things up that are preventing us from fully following Jesus, we must seek to never go back to them again. That is the mindset that we're to have. Not longingly giving them up, looking back like Lot's wife trying to give up Sodom and hold on to it at the same time. Not regretfully giving them up, but gladly giving them up. Never to go back to them again. We must fill our lives with His Word, joyously serving Him each day, be busy in His kingdom and growing in His grace and His knowledge. Fill our lives up with His Word so that we're not tempted as strongly to go back to those things that we have willingly given up to follow Jesus. But the sad part is, if we choose not to give them up, then we will never be the same spiritually again. What do we mean by that? That means instead of fully serving Christ, I will hypocritically serve Him, still holding on to the things that I know I should give up, that I know are wrong for me to continue in, and I will not be as useful in His service as I could be if I did give them up. The more we resist the Word of God, the more hardened the heart becomes. The more we justify ourselves and say, well, God understands that I'm weak and I'm this and I'm that. Is that what Jesus said to the rich young ruler? Oh, I understand you're weak. I understand you have all this property, just keep all of it and just, you know, maybe sell a little bit of it. And I understand that I'm asking too much of you. We don't read anything like that. Jesus commanded him to do exactly what he needed to do if he wanted to follow Him. And He commands us to give up the things that we love, the things that we cherish, the things that we have become habitually used to doing, the things that keep us from growing and serving Him and serving others. Jesus was asked by His disciples, why do you speak to them in parables? In Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 12, Jesus says, for whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. What he's talking about is, I speak to them in this way because they are resisting the Word of God, and the more they resist the Word of God, the more hardened their hearts are. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled from Isaiah 6, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. The more they rejected the word of God and did not give up their stubborn will, the more hardened their heart became toward the word. And that's what happens to us too. The more I don't give up or justify myself in not giving up what I know that I should, that I must, then the more hardened I become until eventually I fall back completely into the world. 2 Peter 2 and verse 19, the false prophets, 2 Peter 2:19, promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and are overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn away from the holy commandments handed on to them. It has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow after washing returns to wallowing in the mire. And so, go back into the world, we become worse than when we were before we were children of God, because we have turned our back on Jesus and we do not turn back again. So what do we do? Sometimes we think, well, it is impossible for me to give up what I know I need to give up, what I know the Lord is not pleased with. That is impossible. Was it impossible for that rich young ruler to sell all of his possessions, give to the poor, and come follow Jesus? No. Was it impossible? But even Jesus' disciples were challenged by what Jesus said to this young man. Mark 10 and verse 23, and Jesus, looking around, said to his disciples, how hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. So first he said the wealthy, then he said overall it's hard to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And that sounds just impossible. They were even more astonished and said to him, then who can be saved? Looking at them, Jesus said, with people it is impossible, but not for God, not with God. For all things are possible with God. If God demands that we give up certain things to serve Him, then it is possible with God's help for me and you to give them up, whatever they may be, whatever they may be. It is possible by the grace of God through faith, seeking the mercy of God, and then seeking to fill our lives with the Word of God going forward, that we don't want to turn back to those things again. It is possible. Simon would have to overcome his coveting the power of the Holy Spirit and the seeking after material things by misusing the power of the Holy Spirit. He was told in Acts 8 and verse 22, "Therefore repent of this wickedness of yours and pray the Lord that if possible the intention of your heart may be forgiven you." But it's not just about repenting. What do? We've got to focus our minds on the one whom we seek to follow, meditate upon him, read about him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John especially, learn who he is, learn to imitate him and follow him, become like him by the power of the gospel through the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Yes, it is possible for me to leave these things and with the renewed relationship with God through Jesus, become more like Jesus." It is possible. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, we don't want to go back to those things. And so, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, not by our own strength, but by the mercies of God toward us, to forgive, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Usually when we want to go back to those things we have once given up, that's when we're not filling our mind with the Word of God. That's when we're not praying to God to have mercy on us and help us to keep changing, that we might be more in the image of His Son. But if we fill our minds with His Word and pray to Him that we might continue to change day by day. In Ephesians 3 and verse 20 and 21, "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Is that God telling me that His Word that works in me can do what I believe may be impossible otherwise? Of course it is. Of course it is. And then finally in our lesson, it's not only about this life, but if we are willing to follow Jesus, give up those things and fill our lives with His Word, then we will be eternally blessed. Mark 10 and verse 28, Peter began to say to him, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brother or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Jesus said, if you would submit to Him and you would put everything in perspective and not put anything or anybody above Him, you're going to be blessed in this life, but you're also going to be persecuted, because you are living a life of faith and service to Jesus. But you're going to receive blessings in this life because your relationship with Jesus deepens your relationships with one another, that you may gain strength from Jesus, that we might be encouraged and helped by one another, that we may overcome whatever it is that may be keeping us from following Jesus as completely as we know that we should, as we know that He demands. And one day, eternal life. One day, eternal life, and all will be in glory for having followed Jesus, who is waiting there, has prepared that place for us, that one day we might be with Him. Yes, with God's help, we can give up all of those things that are dragging our faith and diminishing our faith and squelching our faith and our fruitfulness in His kingdom. If you're here this morning and not a child of God, we would encourage you. We would encourage you to just give up everything that you need to and renounce sin. Come to Jesus today, repenting of your sins, confessing Him as the Son of God, that you believe that He died for your sins, was raised from the dead, ascended into heaven and now rules at the right hand of God. You believe that He is God, along with the Father and the Son. Confess that before this assembly and be baptized immediately, immersed in water, trusting in Jesus to forgive you of your sins, coming up out of the water, cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and begin walking that new life of following Jesus. And those who are already Christians, let us give up those things that we might have held on to for so long. Give those things up. Repent of those sins, whatever they may be. Pray that the Lord will forgive us, and He will. And fill our minds with the Word of God that we may be changed day by day, especially meditating upon our Lord and Savior, who He is and what His character is like, that we might be changed as God would have us changed and be more useful in His service, looking forward to eternal life. If anyone is subject to that invitation, we would encourage all to come. As we now stand and as we sing, let us stand.